Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go. Go for it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gann, flying solo today. For the next hour, everyone, we'll be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, all your ideas, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinions. If you have any opinions, any ideas or beliefs, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On Air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And also, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. A lot of interesting things that went on this week in sports. And we're going to talk about them for this next hour. We're going to, like I said before, have fun doing it. LeBron James, you are now on the clock.
I'm approaching this summer with the right mindset. Me and my team is going to figure out what's the best possibility for me. I love the city of Cleveland, of course. I mean, the city of the fans. No. Another disappointing season, to say the least. But at the same time, we have a great time together. So we see what happens.
Cleveland, you may be in trouble. Cavaliers have fallen short again, losing this time to the Boston Celtics in the second round of the Eastern Conference NBA playoffs. Again, it was an odd series in a lot of ways. Cleveland won game one, dominating performance by LeBron James, and then Boston came back and took game two. And then Cleveland came back in game three with a dominating performance in Boston. Blue Boston now, dominating performance by LeBron James, 21 points in the first quarter, 38 points in all. And then game four, Rondo does his thing, messes around and gets a triple-double, has a great game, and Boston wins. And now we're tied at 2-2 at that point. And then at that point, my mindset at that point, and I'm sure a lot of other fans' mindset, and I can't speak for you, but I'll just say it anyway. I'm sure a lot of other fans' mindset at that point was like, okay, now LeBron will come back, and Cleveland will get this series done. Cleveland was the favorite going into the series, and they were expected to win this series, and many, including myself, expected them to win the NBA title. Now, I thought that Cleveland would come back in Game 5 and do their thing. LeBron does do his thing, you know, the typical 30 points, 7-8 rebound, another 7-8 assist. Typical LeBron. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen for whatever reason. It didn't happen. And LeBron had that just awful game 5, 3-for-14 from the field. He just didn't seem there. There was something missing there. And I thought at that point, okay, even with that performance by LeBron, I'm figuring, okay, this is a superstar. He'll come back. He'll get this ball club over the top. They'll go in Boston, do their thing in Boston, and take it back to Cleveland for a Game 7. But it didn't really happen that way. And LeBron, he just went in there. He had the numbers in Game 6 against Boston. I mean, he had the numbers were there. I mean, but it was just, He had a triple-double, so he did his thing in terms of numbers. But he did have 9 turnovers in that game, and it was something missing. It's hard to pinpoint what exactly was the problem, but it was like there was something missing in terms of swagger. He just didn't have that swagger that the Cavs as a whole didn't have that swagger that they had, they always have, going into games. They didn't have it. I mean, it was just, I don't know what it was. I mean, was it, many have speculated, it seemed like there was dissension and some tension between LeBron and whoever on the team or just with the organization. I mean, it was hard to pinpoint what exactly it was. And if you look at LeBron's numbers, he had a triple-double, 27 points, 19 boards, 10 assists, but it didn't have that LeBron feel. He didn't have that LeBron-like intensity. It was kind of strange, and it's something I'm trying to hear me here. I'm trying to sit here and explain to you what I thought happened, but I can't really explain what happened because I really don't know. It's like you're thinking that, okay, LeBron's a superstar. LeBron is a two-time MVP, back-to-back MVP awards. You're thinking this guy eventually will step up and do what superstars do in those tough situations. But he didn't. He didn't. And now, if you're Cleveland, you're at the edge of your seats right now, and you're nervous. You're definitely a little nervous at this point. And okay, after now you're falling short again. You're back-to-back 60-win seasons, best record in the league, and you can't get out. Last year you couldn't get out the conference finals, and this year you can't get out the second round of the playoffs. And so, I mean, you wonder what's going to happen to Mike Brown. There was speculation that he was going to get fired yesterday, but the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, came out and said that Mike Brown will be evaluated. He's still evaluated. He will be evaluated. He's still the coach of the team, but he will be evaluated. I don't expect Mike Brown to come back. I will be surprised if he does. I mean, somebody has to take a fall for 60 wins and back-to-back 60 wins and no championship to speak for it. So I don't expect Mike Brown to be back next year with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I saw yesterday on ESPN the countdown clock to July 1. July 1st is when teams are able to sign free agents. It's down to 46 days for LeBron. So, as I said, he's on the clock. It's 46 days left. And what's going to happen? I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, it should be interesting what happens. This is going to be an interesting summer. You got Chris Bosh. You got Dwayne Wade, who is expected to opt out of his contract to become a free agent. I mean, you got superstars out here. Joe Johnson, I mean, not a superstar, but a very, very good player. He's going to be a free agent this summer. And so we'll see what happens, man. Mari Steinmeier may become a free agent if he opts out. So it should be interesting what happens. I mean, we've been talking about 2010, and now it's pretty much coming upon us. So we'll see what goes on here in terms of the Cleveland Cavaliers and in terms of LeBron James and in terms of Dwayne Wade and in terms of the rest of these guys that are out here. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, and you got to be looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I mean, if I'm a Cavaliers fan, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous at this point. I'm dreading this summer because this could be the end of the franchise as we know it, in terms of the good things that have been going on the past 5 years with LeBron James. He's been with the franchise for 7, but the past 5 years is when they really have been winning and making to the playoffs and doing their thing. So it should be interesting what LeBron does. What in your opinion, what do you think LeBron does? I mean, we want to get your thoughts on how you feel and what do you think LeBron will do in this summer. I mean, I think it comes down to a couple things. I mean, if you're LeBron, do you want to be a contender and do you want to continue to win? Or do you want to go to New York and become a legend in New York City? If you can win it there, you can win it everywhere. I guess if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. But if he wins it there, he becomes an automatic legend. And the same could be said if he wins in Cleveland as well, because that's City is starved of a championship. So we'll see what happens with LeBron. I mean, I don't see him going to the Knicks. I mean, it's just I think LeBron wants to win, and he knows that he can't win right away in New York. It's just not enough pieces there to win in New York. What is intriguing is the thought of Chicago. Chicago Bulls, they have a lot of cap room this summer, and they have pieces that if you put LeBron in there, that team becomes an instant contender. So they have pieces in Luol Deng and Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. But, I mean, so we'll see what LeBron does. I mean, I think Cleveland does need some work in terms of becoming a championship a team. It seems like they need a second guy to supplement LeBron. We'll see what they do in the summer, but they're willing, and the owner is willing to spend the money to bring the guys in to win the championship, win championships. Shaq will become a free agent this summer, so we'll see if they re-sign him. In this series, if I look back at this series, I thought they should have played J.J. Hickson a little bit more on Garnett, for the simple fact Garnett was just killing Antoine Jameson, and he just Jameson was just too small for him. And Garnett had a field day against him. And so, I mean, I thought maybe they should have tried J.J. Hickson, who had a good second year for Cleveland. But all in all, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, Boston, they were banged up throughout the year, and I didn't think they had enough to make a run at this title. I still think I don't think they'll get past Orlando, but I didn't think they had enough to beat Cleveland. But, I mean, if you look at it, the roster in terms of guys like Garnett, obviously you have the big three, but then you have Rondo now stepping up and doing his thing. And, you know, Rondo had a big game, had a historic game, actually, with his triple-double. So Rondo has stepped up, and you guys had guys like Rasheed Wallace and Big Baby Davis coming off the bench, and Tony Allen, who's contributed. So you got players there, man. So you can't be really too surprised, because if you look at Boston, they had three killers in Allen, Garnett, and Pierce. More so Pierce than Garnett and Allen as in terms of being a killer. But you had guys there, man, who have won championships and who have been superstars in this league and who have been guys who have carried the load for their teams, respective teams, and Allen in Milwaukee and also in Seattle. And you had Garnett in Minnesota all those years. And speaking of Garnett in Minnesota, Kevin Garnett had some very, very interesting comments in terms of talking about LeBron James. And very interesting, and it caught my eye. And here's Garnett's comments. Loyalty is something that hurts you at times because you can't get youth back. I can honestly say that if I could go back and do my situation over, knowing what I know now with this organization, I'd have done it a little sooner. So, should LeBron listen to this guy? Maybe LeBron needs to listen to this guy. I mean, KG was loyal to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it was loyalty to a fault because he was there for 12 years, only got out of the first round one time. And basically, he gave a lot of his youth, so to speak, to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and luckily for him, he fell into a good situation with Boston and was able to win his first title back in 2008. But it's kind of interesting when he says in terms of loyalty and loyalty hurt you sometimes. It kind of brings me back, and I think about it in terms of let's just say a female, for example, good-looking female, pretty female. You know, she's dating a guy for a long time. You know, guy's treating her so-so, just all right. But she sticks around because she loves the guy and she's loyal to the guy. And, you know, she loves the man. I mean, it's her baby. It's her boo-boo, so to speak. And along the way, she gets a little older. Maybe she gains a little weight. The face doesn't look as good as it did years ago. And then she decides, you know what, I'm not the same person. I can't get any better. So I just stick around. And just like KG said, you can't get your youth back. And in a lot of ways, is that what may happen to LeBron James? He's 25 years old now. I mean, he's got a lot of basketball left in him. But at some point, Cleveland has to do enough to build some pieces around them and around him. And I thought they did enough this year to get it done, but the past 2 years in the playoffs have showed us that maybe they have not. So, possibly, is LeBron wasting his pretty in some respect? I heard that in the book. Is LeBron wasting his good looks and his youth here in Cleveland? And does he need to go elsewhere to get it done? Does he need to go elsewhere? I mean, you also have to take into account LeBron basically has been in Ohio his whole life. He went from playing in Akron, Ohio, in high school. And he went from high school, made that jump from high school right to the NBA, and he went to Cleveland. So he's been in Ohio pretty much his whole life. Does he want to change? Does he want to change? Does he need a change? Should he change? I'm of the mind that I hope he stays in Cleveland. I'd like to see him stay in Cleveland. I think it would be a better, just be a good situation. I kind of like when guys stay in one place. And I mean, I think, you know, other than maybe Chicago, who has a lot of cap space, his best opportunity to win a championship is in Cleveland. And I think the Cavaliers will do whatever they have to do to make sure that he will stay, that he will have pieces. They'll try their best. Whether they put the guys in place, whether they put the right guys in place, that's up to general manager Danny Ferry. But I think the ownership is willing to put the money down to make sure that LeBron will have players around him in the future. So what do you think? What should LeBron do? Should he stay? Should he go? And also, have you ever been, we're talking loyalty as well, have you ever been too loyal to someone? Have you ever been too loyal to someone? Let us know. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On Air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. LeBron James, we're talking LeBron James. What should he do? Should he stay? Should he go? What would you do if you're LeBron James? And also, have you ever been loyalty? Have you ever been too loyal to someone and it cost you? And we're talking about loyalty because there's some interesting quotes by Kevin Garnett. And I'll read the quotes to you again. Garnett was quoted as saying is that loyalty is something that hurts you at times because you can't get your youth back. I can honestly say that if I could go back and do my situation over, knowing what I know now with this organization, I would have done it a little sooner. And so he's saying that he would have tried to get out of Minnesota a lot sooner, knowing what he knows now. So we'll see what LeBron does here. I mean, LeBron, he's a legend in Cleveland. He has an opportunity to really carve out a serious legacy in Cleveland. He's an Ohio boy, and they haven't won a lot in Cleveland. They really have not. And so you're wondering if LeBron James will take that into account and stay in Cleveland. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, again, he is an Ohio boy. So we'll see what he does in this offseason. Also, if you're a Flyers fan, if you're a hockey fan, you got to be thrilled about what happened last night in Boston. Philadelphia Flyers were down 3-0 in their series to Boston, the Bruins. They were down 3-0. At that point, when it's 3-0, it's pretty much, and usually it's a wrap. The series is usually over. You see, even 3-1 for that matter is usually a wrap. But the Flyers dug, and they clawed. I mean, they were down 3-0 even in the game seven. So it's like, give them a lot of credit. They were down 3-0, not only in the series and came back, but they were down 3-0 in game seven and came back to win the game. 4-3. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And when it's usually 3-0, it usually is done. It's usually a wrap, and they did it. They did it, and give them a lot of credit. They became the third team to overcome a 3-goal deficit in Game 7 and to win it in regulation. I mean, so give that Flyers team a lot of credit. They lost their goaltender, Brian Boucher. And they found ways to get it done. I mean, I'm not a big hockey fan, but, I mean, when you see certain things and you see big things like that, like what the Flyers did, you got to give them a lot of credit. And it's interesting. In sports like baseball and sports like hockey, it's a lot easier to come back from 3-0 in a series than it is in the NBA, which is it's never been done in the NBA. No team has come back from 3-0. Because in sports like hockey and baseball, you can ride that hot goaltender in hockey. You can ride that horse of a pitcher in baseball. I mean, you can ride these individuals and these players to victory. And basketball is a little different animal, and it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. Now, and it's even possible sometimes to beat them in four. I mean, teams have come back from 3-0 and forced a Game 7. But when it came to Game 7, they just didn't have enough to get over the top, and it's hard. It's hard to beat a team four times in a row. It really is. So give the Flyers a lot of credit. Give the Philadelphia Flyers a lot of credit. And if you're if you're a Boston fan, I mean, you had a great night on Thursday against when the Celtics beat the Cavaliers. And then you come back on Friday, and then it's like, darn, the bubble burst. You know, you go 1-for-1, 1-for-2, excuse me. You figure you had Boston's, you had the Celtics who came up big and beat the Cavaliers, and then you're expecting for the Bruins to make it a great weekend for you. And they didn't do it. They lost to the Philadelphia Flyers after being up 3-0. I mean, if that's my team, if I'm a Bruins fan, I'm sick right now. I mean, I'm sick. I'm probably throwing up as we speak if I'm a Bruins fan right now. I mean, because 3-0. You had 3 games, so essentially you had 4 games to win one. 4 more games to win one, and you couldn't do it. You could not do it. I mean, you got to be sick. You have to be literally, literally sick in that situation. You have to be. You got to be. And if you ought to be, especially if you're a big fan of that team. And, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Ultimately, you just have to move on and go to next year. But you're definitely, definitely frustrated if you're a Boston Bruins fan. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the owner button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. We're talking loyalty today. And LeBron James. What should LeBron do? Should he go back to Cleveland? Should he go to New York? Possibly Chicago? Where should he go? What should he do? And also, loyalty. Have you ever been too loyal to someone and it cost you? Have you ever been too loyal to someone and it cost you? And, I mean, and Kevin Garnett basically said he was too loyal to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it cost him. It cost him. And he realizes it now that if he had it all to do it over again, he would not have stayed in Minnesota. He would not have been as loyal as he was. And basically, he was loyal to a fault, and it cost them. I mean, also tonight we got a boxing match tonight, big boxing match. Highly touted Amir Khan comes over from England to face Paulie Malignaggi tonight in Madison Square Garden, the mecca of boxing, the mecca of sports. So we'll see what happens tonight. I mean, it should be a very good fight. It should be an interesting fight. The two actually got into a tussle during the weigh-in. And it's been a lot of trash talking going back and forth between the two. And we'll see what happens. I mean, Khan, he's making his first stop here in America. Fought most of his fights in Europe. Now he has an opportunity now to show the American public what he is made of and what he has to offer. We'll see. Should be interesting. That should be a decent fight, and a fight that will be on tonight. Also, we've been focusing on LeBron, but now, if you look at it, Boston now will go on and face the Orlando Magic, who have pretty much steamrolled through the playoffs. I mean, they dominated the Bobcats 4-0, and they dominated the Atlanta Hawks, beating them 4-0 as well. Last year, these two teams faced each other in the playoffs. One game went to seven games with Orlando winning. So it is a rematch. Kevin Garnett was not in the mix last year. Kevin Garnett was hurt. But it should be a great series. But I expect the Orlando Magic to get it done. I think they're the better team. I think you got to also remember Jermaine Nelson was not there last year. So he's back in the mix. So so that's the upgrade at the point guard position, whereas you had Rafer Austin last year. Now you have Jermaine Nelson, which is an upgrade. So that should be an interesting series. And in making a prediction now, I look at it, I say, I think Orlando wins in six. Tough six-game series, a hard-fought six-game series, but I like Orlando in six, and I think Boston might have given all they has against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I don't think they'll have enough against the Orlando Magic, who some believe were a better team than Cleveland and is a better team than Cleveland, and is a team that many believe that could win the NBA Finals, and if they get past the Boston Celtics, and I believe they will, and I think if they get another shot at the Lakers, I think they'll beat them this time around. I thought they had a lot of, even though they lost in five, they had a lot of opportunities in that series, and that was a close series. That was a close five-game series. So and now I think with Jermaine Nelson in the mix and playing a full season, I think that's going to be a benefit to the Orlando Magic, and he is an upgrade over Rafer Austin. And that's not a slight on Rafer Austin. That's just Jermaine Nelson being Jermaine Nelson, and Jermaine Nelson is a top-flight point guard. And also, I think Vince Carter has effectively, and along with Matt Barnes, has effectively replaced Hedo Turkoglu. So, I mean, it should be an interesting series. And I expect, again, I expect Orlando to get past Boston in six. And I also expect Orlando also I'm picking Orlando now to win the title. Orlando will win the title this year. I had Cleveland, and as we all know, Cleveland lost to the Boston Celtics. So now I have to go with my Orlando Magic. They are the team, I believe, that will win the NBA title. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And again, you can listen to the show. Also, again, you can listen and send emails to the show at goforward.gann@gmail.com. That's goforward.gann@gmail.com. Hello?
Paul.
Jeremy.
How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, first originally I wasn't going to be able to call in this week. My son suffers first-degree burns on his fingers. But then I thought to myself, Monday, I hear this voice yapping and yapping and yapping about how, don't worry, the series is over, LeBron is going to win this championship. So I said to Oliver, take a nap. I got some work that I got to do.
I guess you did your work, right?
Well, not just me, you know. It sure looks like Boston, you know, a team can definitely do more than a player.
Hold that thought for a second, because we have Cliff Rowe of BoxingScene.com. Cliff?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Paul?
Doing well, Cliff. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you back. Now, Cliff, Mayweather-Mosley, your thoughts on Mayweather's dominating performance over Mosley? Was it a byproduct of Mosley's age, or was it Floyd's brilliance?
I mean, anytime you got a fighter who's 38 years old, you're going to have age be a factor. But I wrote before the fight, and I think it's especially fair to say after I saw the replay, Floyd Mayweather isn't young anymore. I mean, I think people, because, you know, he's up near the top of these sort of silly pound-for-pound debates and all that stuff, because he's there, people think of him as in his prime. Floyd's not in his prime right now. He's probably a few years past it. He's 33 years old. This isn't 10 years ago when he was wiping out Diego Corrales. That was Floyd in his youthful prime. This is just a very seasoned fighter. And when I first saw the fight, I thought, well, you know, Mosley's age probably plays a factor. It probably does. But I think there's also a degree of Floyd Mayweather's accuracy and skill level just overwhelmed Shane Mosley. And I'm not sure that it would have mattered if he was 35, because that would have made, you know, Floyd 30. And I think he might just be a step better than Shane Mosley at any point in their career.
Okay. Now, I heard Freddie Roach say that Floyd now is hittable. Do you agree with that? He's lost his legs, basically.
I don't know about this whole lost his legs thing. I mean, if there's one thing I would take away from the fight, if I was Pacquiao's people, to feel hopeful, if they can land, they can hurt him. Anybody who's ever landed on, I mean, Floyd's been stunned before. I mean, Dab Judah stunned him. DeMarcus Corley hurt him. Shane Mosley hurt him. If you catch him with the right shot, you can hurt him. All that means is that Floyd Mayweather is human. What Manny Pacquiao has to be able to do to win that fight is catch him more than once. I mean, guys with great speed have shown they can catch Floyd, you know, and make a fight of it once or in one round or two rounds. Manny Pacquiao's got to be able to do it consistently throughout an entire fight. And if he can't, how is he going to outbox Floyd to win enough rounds to win a decision? I mean, that's the question of the fight. Can his volume overwhelm Floyd's defense? It's possible. He might be a little faster than Floyd right now. It wouldn't shock me at all if they got in the ring and Manny was faster. But can his speed get past the jab? I mean, these are the questions that have to be answered in an actual fight. And it's great for Freddie to say, you know, that his legs are gone, but they need to make the fight.
We hope that it does get done. We'll go back to Mayweather and Pacquiao for a second, but where does Shane Mosley go now?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's good fights out there. I mean, I think that there's a lot of guys in the welterweight top 10 and the junior middleweight top 10 that Shane is probably still competitive with. You know, I still think he could fight an Andre Berto. But, I mean, Teddy Atlas said this on ESPN. I think it's fair. You know, if you can't fight the top guy in the world, at 38, what are you really fighting for? Except money. And, you know, if you need the money, go right ahead. But, I mean, I'm not sure Shane can – there's nothing really Shane can add to bolster his resume much more. He is what he was. He was a very good fighter. He's a little short of being one of the all-time greats. You know, the quality wins really aren't there if you look at his record. But he was a daring guy, a great talent, and, you know, a credit to the sport outside of some mistakes with performance-enhancing drugs.
So Cliff, this is Jeremy. I've worked with Paul. I want to touch on Pacquiao-Mayweather because I think everyone certainly wanted to see that before, wants to see it now. And you brought up a really good point, which is if you can hit Mayweather, you can certainly hurt him. Is Pacquiao the guy that will hurt? Let me add, though,
if you can hit most fighters, you can hurt them. There are very few fighters in the history of the sport that can't be knocked out. I mean, if you look in the history of the sport, there's very few. Marvin Hagler, you couldn't knock him out. I mean, he was that rare beast. But there's very few that are like that.
And that you're reading my mind, because I think one of the things Paul and I have constantly gone back and forth on is, I think the two of them, it's certainly a fight everyone wants to see. It's a lot of talk on both sides, and I think when they get in the ring, the best man will win. They seem to be very evenly matched. Pacquiao is definitively, at this point, I mean, he seems to have the slighter edge, but I thought Mayweather put on a very impressive show. He was stunned in the second round, and he came back from that and boxed a brilliant 10 rounds.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But here's the thing. I think that the thing about Pacquiao Mayweather is it's a game of one-upsmanship in the last year to 3 years, probably. Every time you see whoever you saw most recently is the guy you're probably favoring in your mind. Miguel Cotto, when he fought Shane Mosley back in 2007, he won that fight by a round or two. He was a round or two better. If you go back and watch Pacquiao Cotto, then you'll see that Pacquiao won that fight. You know, his fight with Cotto was about a round or two more competitive than Mayweather's fight with Mosley, which tells us that against similar levels of opposition, Mayweather and Pacquiao are creating similar levels of dominance. But their styles are so different that it looks different. So Pacquiao's is going to look a little more difficult because he's willing to take more chances. Now, whether he can get Floyd to open up is a whole different question.
And Mosley essentially got Floyd to open up a little more than he usually does.
Well, no, I mean, he did, but only because Mayweather had to be offensive in the fight. And Mayweather has shown in the past he can be an offensive fighter. I mean, Diego Corrales pressed him. Diego Corrales got tore up. Marcus Corley stunned him. Floyd Mayweather went on and laid a vicious beating on him. Shane Mosley, you know, stunned him a little bit. Floyd opened up. If you force him to open up and be offensive, he's got a very underrated offensive arsenal. I mean, his defensive slickness is such that you're concentrating on the defense. People get caught up with that when they look at old tapes of Pernell Whitaker. He's not getting hit. They don't realize how many times his opponents are getting hit in return. Now, Mayweather isn't anywhere near the volume puncher that Pernell was in his prime, but he also has a little bit of a different defensive posture, and he's a righty instead of a lefty. So, there's difference in comparison there.
Now, Cliff, Pacquiao's saying that he's fighting in November. With all this money on the table, and we've been talking about it, does he finally get in the ring with Mayweather in November?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows at this point. I know there's people who are cynical and people who are optimistic. I think we just wait and see. History says that most of the time when there's this kind of money on the table, you can make the fight. And this is the biggest fight in boxing in terms of the level of accomplishment of the two fighters since Pernell Whitaker and Julio Cesar Chavez. These are the two most accomplished fighters to be ready for a face-off since that fight.
And I just hope that it gets done. It's a fight that boxing needs and a fight that everybody wants to see it, so it needs to get done. I want to also look back. I want to talk about last week's fight with Kermit Cintron and Paul Williams. I mean, Williams got the decision. Obviously, the decision was after three rounds. He had Cintron, who was injured after falling out the ring. He said he was okay, but the doctor stopped the fight anyway. And I thought Cintron actually was winning the fight, and I thought Cintron would have won the fight because, to me, Paul Williams looked very tentative. He wasn't having those 100-punch rounds that he's known for. And I think if he would have opened up, I thought Cintron pretty much would have countered him all day. What do you think?
I think that by the third and fourth round, Paul Williams was starting to connect on the left hook. I think his punch fluidity was starting to come on. I think Williams probably goes on to win the fight. He's just a better fighter than Kermit Cintron. Kermit fought a good couple of rounds, but I think it's unfair to project too much on either fighter because they're really nothing. The fight didn't happen. It was just starting to break out. Here's my take, though. I think that 152 pounds, which is what Williams weighed in at, coming in as a junior middleweight, is too light. I think that this – I think he looked sluggish for the first two rounds. It looked like it took him a while to warm up. His balance wasn't there. His footwork wasn't great in the first couple rounds. That was not the same fighter we've seen at middleweight against Winky Wright and Sergio Martinez. Paul Williams needs to go where his body is telling him to go. He is a 6'1" middleweight. And the fact that he has the metabolism to make welterweight doesn't mean it's healthy, and it doesn't mean he's the best fighter he can be there. Mayweather and Pacquiao are not going to fight Paul Williams. He needs to fight at middleweight, and he needs to be chasing Sergio Martinez. If I'm Paul Williams and I'm his camp, I'm out there publicizing that I'm the uncrowned middleweight champion of the world. It doesn't matter whether, you know, people think he won the Martinez fight or they think Martinez won. Williams got that official verdict. He needs to be playing that card, and they need to be building that fight up.
Well, then this – go ahead, Paul.
Do you believe he should stay at 160, basically, and stay away from 147?
He's 6'1", he's almost 30 years old. We've seen the effect. Tommy Hearns did damage to his legs late in his career by jumping up and down between light heavyweight and middleweight. When you've got that sort of, you know, when you're that sort of long and you've got that much room to grow, you need to go to the place where your body is most comfortable. Otherwise, you're going to do damage to your legs. And I thought Williams looked sluggish at 152 in a way he has not looked at middleweight over the last year.
And you raise an interesting point, Cliff, which is you see sometimes these fighters are looking to project where the money will be rather than what's best for the longevity of their career, of their lore. And it gets back to the pack. Everyone wants, like you said, that they want to be the next opponent to Pacquiao or Mayweather, because boxing right now doesn't necessarily have the mass appeal it did 5, 10, you know, 15 years ago.
Look, Pacquiao and Mayweather aren't going to fight him. It's that simple.
Oh, I couldn't. I think you're not going to get an argument from me. And
there's no reason for them to fight him. He's not a welterweight. He hasn't fought a welterweight in 2 years. Why would the two best welterweights in the world be worried about some junior middleweight or middleweight? If Floyd and Pacquiao were guys who started at welterweight, I would feel differently. Because historically, you know, the top welterweight going up to middleweight is no big deal. And even smaller welterweights have tried, like Jose Napoli's tried Carlos Monzon in the 1970s. But he got his ass kicked for his trouble. You know, there's no need for guys who started at junior lightweight and lower to be going up to fight a 6'1" guy who comfortably belongs at middleweight. It's just, what for?
And now, Cliff, we have a big fight today at MSG Madison Square Garden. You got England's Amir Khan making his American debut against Paulie Malignaggi. Now, is Amir Khan just that, a Khan, or is he for real?
Amir Khan is for real against the right opponents. I like a lot of things about Amir Khan. I mean, he was hurt bad in the Willie Lyman fight. He was hurt in the Michael Gomez fight, but he showed tremendous heart. He fights back hard when he's hurt. His problem is he doesn't have a great chin. He's got the best package of athletic talent and bad chin that boxing has seen since probably Terry Norris. He's going to be I think his chin is probably worse than Norris, because at least Norris, he had to get tagged by guys like Julian Jackson, Simon Brown, even Keith Mullins later in his career. I mean, Willie Lyman is not a puncher. Willie Lyman is a slightly better puncher than Paulie Malignaggi, and he had Amir Khan hurt. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time before somebody gets in there that can tag Khan. But if you keep him away from certain types of fighters, a guy like Marcos Maidana, who, you know, is his mandatory, but they've managed a deal where they don't have to fight him right away, maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you keep him away from the big punchers, Amir Khan is the kind of guy who can look fantastic. But I think that no matter what, that chin is too big of a liability for him to get past a certain point in the sport. He's a very good fighter, though.
And essentially, this is a great opponent for him tonight.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean Paulie can't win. I mean, Paulie's a slick boxer, but Paulie doesn't have any firepower to hold Khan off, so Khan can body him up. Khan is about two inches taller. He's got an inch of reach. You know, the speed's about even, so he should be able to put his jab on Paulie. And if he can put his jab on him, he should be able to win the fight.
So, Cliff, we'll get you out of here on this. Who do you like tonight, Khan or Malignaggi?
Khan by decision.
And also Victor Ortiz, Nate Campbell. Quickly, who do you like there tonight?
Not sure. If Nate has his legs for a full fight, if age isn't catching up to Nate and a lot of time in the gym, then he should be able to beat Victor Ortiz. He's a little more polished than Victor. Victor's got great speed. You know, he's got a nice story. But, you know, Nate Campbell's got a full bag of tricks. He should be able to win that fight, but his age could catch up to him quickly.
Cliff, we thank you. This is Cliff Rold from BoxingScene.com. Cliff, you guys also, I believe you guys have a radio show now
at
Boxing Scene.
Yeah, I believe we just hooked up with Gabe Montoya, who also writes for Max Boxing. He has a radio show. There's some sort of hookup there. I'm not sure exactly what the specifics are on that. And we're doing a content provision deal with Sports Illustrated, so you can catch our work at the at Boxing Scene and at the Sports Illustrated website.
Okay, and we'll definitely do that. It's a great website, BoxingScene.com. Cliff Rold, excuse me. I always mess that up for some reason. But it's Cliff Rold from BoxingScene.com. Cliff Rold, we thank you for joining us today.
Anytime, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
A lot of big fights tonight. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to just jump in because, as I said, I want to make sure we get our whooping in before and after. We certainly want to talk more boxing, but I've
got
to make time.
You got 14 minutes to give it to me, so I'll listen and I'll take it like the man I am.
Well, I mean, and I appreciate that. I wasn't surprised. I told you, Paul, that Cleveland team needs a lot of work in the off season, especially now that LeBron's a free agent. And I heard you were talking earlier about loyalty and Shuddy and Woody. But if they do, it certainly better not be with Shaq. It certainly better not be with Antoine Jameson. They missed their guy, and I think that you're going to watch Boston probably walk itself into a finals appearance and get certainly everything handed to them by the Lakers. But, it's a shame for Cleveland, and I feel your pain.
Let me stop you here for 1 second. Boston will not beat the Magic, and I think the Magic are the better team there. And I thought Cleveland was the better team as well, but I was wrong, and people are wrong sometimes from time to time. Welcome to life. I'm only human. But, I mean, at the same time, I know you were clamoring for guys like Amari Stoudemire, and you were saying that that was the guy they should have went after. But I say this. I thought what Cleveland did was build their team towards facing the Orlando Magic and adding a Shaq. That was for Dwight Howard, and in adding a Antoine Jameson, I believe that was for Rashard Lewis. But I think now, and seeing this, they didn't think that Boston was going to be a factor, and I think they overlooked the Celtics in terms of the acquisitions they made, and I think in the end it cost them.
I'm not going to disagree with you. The only thing I see with Orlando, and the reason why, Paul, I've been a staunch, Orlando supporter during these playoffs. The one thing the one weakness I'm beginning to see is they have not really, and you brought this up last week, they haven't really been challenged. And now they're going up against a veteran Boston club, who I do think there's the big matchup weakness is certainly going to be containing Dwight Howard. If they can marginalize his effectiveness, you're going to watch them win this, and dare I tell you, in five games, because they do not have the veteran leadership.
Let's be clear about some things here. I mean, these two teams faced off last year with Orlando winning in seven games. But with that being said, I think Orlando is a better team this year. I think they're better. Kevin Garnett did not play in that series last year. I'll say that. But I think
I'm thanking you for at least they were a better team last year without Kevin Garnett. And I think they're a younger team. I think they have more talent. But a better team, Paul, you forget, I think you're overlooking experience. You're overlooking the fact that I think Boston probably walked into the series with Cleveland, I think recognizing that was the end of their season. Winning that, and I think looking at an Orlando team with this level of inexperience, I think they have to be licking their chops. I think they have to recognize.
Well, you can't say inexperienced with Orlando because they were a team that did go to the finals last year. And I think they're a better team this year with Jameer Nelson instead of Jermaine Nelson now being in a mix instead of Ray for Austin and Anthony Johnson, who were their point guards last year. I think Jermaine Nelson is a better is back and he's healthy, and he is the guy I think is going to help put them over the top. And I also think Vince Carter and Matt Barnes have effectively replaced Tito Turkoglu. And I think now Orlando is the better team. And I think Orlando is the team that no matter who they face in the finals, whether it will be the Lakers or the Suns, which will probably be the Lakers, I think Orlando will finally get through and win the title this year. I really do. I mean, they have the look. I mean,
I feel bad. Let me finish.
I'm not getting caught up in them sweeping the Hawks or sweeping the Bobcats. I'm not getting caught up in that. I'm getting caught up in, I just see a team that is a better team and has a team that has more talent this year. And a team I think that's prime to win the NBA title.
I think the only chance they have to win the NBA title, believe it or not, isn't anybody that's going to step on the court, but it's Stan. I think Stan the Man will certainly, I think, keep them alive for the next two series. Because I really think when you listen to what he says, he not only says all the right things, but he certainly has his players playing the right way. I mean, the comments and talking about how, you know, he expects them to play better and constantly referencing the fact that, you know, as they're rolling through the playoffs, he just doesn't even look satisfied. He looks, you know, he recognizes that they have better ball to play, and I think he has kept them, when the media is focusing on the fact that they haven't lost in the playoffs and they're trying to get them to overlook opponents, you know, I think Van Gundy has done a much better job of controlling his team and keeping them very focused. But if you're picking them, Paul, if you're picking them, then you just made my life a lot easier.
Well, maybe you should stay away from them if I'm picking them, because I was wrong with the Mavericks and Spurs, and unfortunately, I was wrong with Cleveland and the Boston. But let's get back to LeBron James and the whole loyalty issue. What happens with LeBron James in your opinion? I mean, it's my opinion. I think that he may go, but I think he should stay, and I would like him to stay. But I think he's going to go.
I think unfortunately it's a foregone conclusion. There is no loyalty. Not that there should be. This is a business. It's not a sport.
You can't have a loyalty to anybody in this day.
But I think honestly, I think the biggest problem in Cleveland for LeBron isn't so much staying or anything to do with loyalty or the money. I just think there has been too much attention. It's been 3 years. I mean, this has been a 3-year circus. So every year that he's going to the Knicks, that he's going to the Nets, and Jay-Z bought the team, and you know Spike Lee has politicked, and go ahead.
Obama has officially politicked for the.
And that's what I was getting ready to do. Now you're starting to see, it, you know, there are markets that are, and I think a very natural place that he will wind up. I think the dark horse in all this is Chicago. I think they have the nucleus. If I was LeBron James and looking to move, I certainly would not want to go to a Knicks team that may or may not be able to get a Chris Bosh, that may or may not be able to get a Dwayne Wade. I think it's definitively a team like Chicago that has pieces that they – I mean, you put LeBron James on their team, and they're better than Cleveland was this year. And there's really no argument.
It's kind of
other than you, there's no argument.
I'm not ready to completely go there with you, but I do think that there are a lot of pieces.
Jordan Spoelstra never won a championship with a dominant center. So the argument that they need this dominant center isn't there. I mean, Jordan Spoelstra won with
I'm not really focusing on the center spot. I mean, there is some talent with Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, and Joakim Noah. There's just talent there. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't mean that it's going to translate automatically into. They are going to be natural contenders on paper, but we have to see how it translates on the floor. I think Cleveland now they were a team that seem to have good chemistry throughout the year, and for some reason, to me, LeBron James. I mean, I was talking about it earlier in the show. LeBron James, there just seemed to be something missing there, and I can't pinpoint it. I can't put my finger on it, but he just didn't seem like himself. He put the numbers up in game six, had a triple-double, 27 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. He had the triple-double, but he did have 9 turnovers, but it was just something missing.
I mean, we hear about the elbow, and I don't disagree. It was inexplicable for them to lose that game. And I think in that loss, you do have to recognize that you got to blame the guy that should have played better. And you mentioned 9 turnovers, and I think you have to wonder if there wasn't maybe there was an injury that he didn't want to let people know about.
Well, I just see now here where General Manager Danny Ferry was saying that LeBron was bothered by his elbow and revealed that for the first time that the league's MVP complained about his elbow before a game against Chicago back in April. He was diagnosed with a sprained elbow and a bone bruise, but he said earlier this week that the elbow was an issue and he would take care of it in the off season. So we're not sure if he's going to need surgery or anything, but. And maybe it's just rest. So maybe it was the elbow. I don't know. But, I mean, it was LeBron. He just didn't have that swagger. And it was something missing. And when the leader of your team has something missing, more than likely your team is going to have something missing. And that's essentially, to me, what happened. But in looking at it, maybe Boston was the better team.
I guess one question that I would ask you, I raise to you, is if you're LeBron, Paul, where do you think the most natural fit is?
Well, Chicago, like you said, is in terms of the pieces that they have, if I'm leaving Cleveland and if I'm LeBron and I want to win and I'm about winning championships, either I'm staying – more than likely I'm going to stay home in Cleveland because Dan Gilbert has shown that he's going to spend the money. But I also would look at Chicago. Because there are some pieces there. And that would be an intriguing situation for LeBron James. But I'm not looking at New York with the Knicks or the Nets. I'm not looking there. I'm not looking there at all. Those are rebuilding situations. And if LeBron does go on any of those teams, I mean, maybe they get to the playoffs. But I don't think you can say they're contenders. If you go to Chicago on paper, he's a contender. If he stays in Cleveland on paper, he's a contender. So do you chase the bright lights in big city in New York or do you stay in Cleveland or even chase the big city and bright lights in Chicago in some respect? It's a big decision he has to make.
Can New York land 2 megastars in 1 year? Can they land a Bosch?
It's possible. It's possible, I mean, because you have the allure of New York City. It's possible. But if you're about championships, I don't think you look at New York unless Chris Bosh is telling you, you know what, man, I'm signing with New York. So you sign with them too, and we'll get this done. If Dwayne Wade
and LeBron.
So, I mean, you have to see what happens. I mean, you wonder where LeBron is going to go. Does he go to Toronto? Does he go to Cleveland or New York or what have you? We'll see. But we have under a minute left to go in the show, and we have Jeremy back. Jeremy,
I'm going to put my belt away. I'm going to take it out again Monday at 9.
I'll be waiting and abating for oh so long, but. I'll be waiting, and we'll see what happens. But where does LeBron go? It's going to be the countdown is on. 46 days till July 1, where teams are able to sign free agents. LeBron's going to enjoy this time, I believe, and he's going to figure out where he wants to go. But the ball is in his court and in his corner, and it's a great situation to be where people are chasing you to give you hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a great situation. What a country we live in. About 30 seconds left in the show. We want to thank Cliff Rold of BoxingScene.com for stopping by, giving his thoughts on the great, wonderful world of boxing. And also, we want to thank all of you who listened and who gave your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas, and, of course, your beliefs, because that's what we do on Go Forward. We talk sports and have fun. So we thank everybody who called. Thank you, everybody who joined in. We'll see you next week. Have fun. Have a good day. Bye. Hello?